And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught in many different ways. Sometimes he came out and just said it, right? Sometimes he said, the Son of Man is going up to Jerusalem. He's going to be betrayed in the hands of evil men, and they will kill him. Does anybody misunderstand any one of those words? What's lovely about that text is Jesus says that's what he's going to Jerusalem to do, and the next sentence says what? The disciples did not understand this. It's amazing, right? So sometimes he does direct teaching. Sometimes he teaches in prophetic ways, all kinds of different ways. But one of the favorite ways of the Lord, you can't miss it if you read the New Testament, one of his favorite ways to teach us is how? In parables. A parable takes a regular life circumstance, something you've seen many a time, somebody tossing seed out there. He's taught in other ways. A man owns a vineyard, a man owns a home, whatever. Jesus talks in many parables, and a parable just means a comparison. He's going to say, here's a simple everyday thing that happens in life, and there's a spiritual truth that we can extract from it. Now, I know from being a pastor and teaching Bible classes that sometimes people say to me, Pastor Walt, I don't understand all the parables. Here's the fun part. He wanted you to understand them. And he, of course, taught so many, I think he would say, read through a lot of them, and the more you read, the easier they get. Now, this morning, our gospel text was Matthew chapter 13. That chapter has seven parables in it. It goes one parable and another and another and another. If you wanted a homework assignment, you could this week just read Matthew 13. And if you don't understand them all, just read them again. Does that make sense? Just keep reading them. Now, here's the fun thing. Sometimes Jesus will tell a parable, and you'll find two different Bible commentators, and some say this parable means this, and sometimes it means, somebody else says it means that. Now, so which is it? Here's my view. Sometimes Jesus is saying, I just want you to talk about it, and engaging the text is perfectly fine enough, right? So there's often the case that Jesus is saying, maybe it is a little this, maybe it's a little that. Maybe there's a spiritual truth for us to extract, always to set ourselves before the Word of God. And by the way, all the times we open up the Word of God, we should come in prayer and say, Lord, open up my ears and my heart to hear this. Now, this is a delightful parable where Jesus explains it, right? Isn't that nice? So you'll notice in the top, it says, we read Matthew 13, 1 to 9, and 18 to 23. Why did we skip? Because there's some verses in between there that don't, you know, that don't deal exactly with this parable. So 1 to 9, here's the parable. A sower goes out to sow. And he threw the seed wantonly around, not carefully, throwing it everywhere, scattering seed all over the place. And some of it grew, and some of it didn't. And the disciples in the intervening verses say, Jesus, why do you talk to us in parables? We don't understand you. And Jesus quotes Isaiah 6, where God says that it's always the case that some people understand the word and some people don't. And in that passage, he puts these two verbs together. Jesus says the point of the word of God is for us to hear and understand. To hear and understand. Now, that's the intervening verses. And then he says, hear the parable of the sower. If you've been around church very much, you've heard this parable many times. It's one of the most foundational ones. I do want to say this. It is a tough parable. Like all parables, part of it's delightful and part of it encourages us in our faith, but some of it's challenging. And it's, I want to say this too, it's actually hard to preach on this parable because Jesus talks about the several different ways that people hear the word of God and are lost. And I don't want to dwell on that, but we need to look at it, right? We need to look at the fact that one of the things that can happen is that the Word of God can come to someone's life, come into their ears, and do what? Do nothing. Do nothing. So I don't want to dwell on it. I want us to notice that, but I want us to pull several details out of this text. Now, I want us to notice right away, the translators say something I want to quibble with. Verse 3, it says, a sower went out to sow. In Greek, it doesn't say the word a, it says the word the. Is that a difference? Hear it. The sower went out to sow. So let me ask you, who is the sower? That would be Jesus, right? If it says the, I want to get this. It doesn't mean you and me. We'll see later in this parable, we're supposed to be fruit bearers, but we do not convert anyone, right? This is something that I've noticed. There's some Christians that love to use the phrase, I've led 5 people to the Lord. And I always want to say, you've led no one to the Lord. The Lord has worked through you. By the way, I don't mean that as an excuse. The word says God does want to work through you. Jesus says, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. I get that, but you've never converted anyone. The sower went out to sow. It's the power of Christ that puts the word in the world, right? And it's not just that the sower went out to sow, but he sowed something. What does the sower sow? The seed. What is the seed? Again, we don't have to guess because Jesus tells us in verse 18, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, what is the seed? The word. The seed is the word of God. Again, it's not us. It's not my superior logic and intellect overwhelming people, right, with the evidence for the faith. Jesus is the sower. The seed is the word, and that's supposed to go out. Does that make sense? That's just foundational for us to get, that God wants the word to go out. God wants it to go out widely. He does work through us, but it's Jesus at work, and it's his word at work. What's funny, of all things, the Old Testament lesson said the exact same thing, did it not? Isaiah 55, think of this, Isaiah, old Testament prophet, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and don't return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so is what? So is my word. So is my word. You hear that? God is not saying, through the power of King David, people will come to the faith. He didn't say that. Through the power of the church, people will come. It doesn't say that. As the rain and the snow come down and they do stuff, that's what my word does. God is saying, my word. The word of God is the power. Now, here's the challenging part of it. Does everybody who hears the word always come to faith? No. And this is the heavy part. And this is the challenging part as the preacher. It is an awareness we have to have. Not all are saved. We don't celebrate that. We just know it, right? We just know it. And he lists some specific things, and I think they're listed there so we understand that there's more than one way to not receive the word. And I think in many ways he's saying to us, guard against this, right? Guard against it for yourself. I want to look at them, but I don't want to go about it too long, but I do want to look at them real quick. The one is, he says, some people hear the word and don't understand it. The evil one comes and snatches it away. So sometimes the word of God hits people and it's like landing on the pavement, right? It's never going to get through, and it just ricochets off and it breaks our heart, and you'd like to force it down their throat or something. You can't, right? Some people hear the word of God, it makes no difference, it will never find a place. Now, that's a challenging thing to know. Again, it's beyond our control. Here's the crazy thing. God is God, and therefore powerful, right? God has allowed himself to be resisted. Isn't that odd? God in his power, God who says, let there be light, there is light. That's God and his unmitigated power. But God, when he says, I'm going to work through word and sacrament, allows himself to be resisted. And there are people that hear. The crazy thing about most atheists in the West, they've heard the word, right? You hear people ridicule the faith. They've heard and they've rejected. Now, he says this. What was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, but because he has no root in himself, it only endures for a little while. Now that's a very challenging thought. When it says that some people receive the word quickly, some people hear the word and they decide they're all fired up. I'm a Christian. I'm going to follow Christ. This isn't saying that it was like a phony thing at all. This is saying that some people come to the faith and lose that faith. Like, so that is not an easy topic to talk about in a sermon, but I want us to get this, that some people say, once saved, always saved. That's not biblical. It's just not. This is one of the parables that talks about it. There's other passages in the Bible that say they have decided they're going to follow the Lord. They're fired up. They're excited. What comes? It says tribulation and persecution. Is hardship going to come? We can guarantee it. Hardship will come. And you've seen that where some people cannot get through that hardship. Of course, we want to love them and support them and try to draw them back. But there are people who have come to the faith, who have experienced tribulation, and they will think, this is not what I thought it was going to be like. Right? That's a tragic thing. Now, the other thing that it says is some are sown among thorns. This is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word. Does that happen? The first one is tribulation or persecution. By the way, I pray for young people because they live in a world where a lot of people will say, like, you know, it's awful to be Christian, and you have to have some real spine to stay a Christian these days, right? But not just persecution. It says the cares of the world. Jesus doesn't list what they are, but what might they be? I want us to know anything that just draws you away a little at a time. A little at a time. Are there some people that do that? Some people turn their back on Christ immediately, and some people just kind of drift away. Some people were in church every week. It became once a month. It became once a quarter. It became hardly ever. You know such people, right? They're busy with one thing or another. The kids had a game this week. Whatever. One thing or another. Little things, maybe thought patterns, maybe the arguments of the world, little things that drag us away a step at a time. It's a heavy subject, but it's a warning from Christ to say, guys, be aware. And then it says, I love the phrase, the deceitfulness of riches. We're aware of that, especially as Americans. What do riches promise? We've been told a lie. The lie is, if you have enough money, you will be happy. And if you don't have happiness, you can at least just buy it. And if you can't buy happiness, you can at least buy the stuff that makes you happy. Is that true? It is not. And that's why Jesus, it's a strong word, the deceitfulness of riches. And you'll see some people still going after, chasing that. Well, maybe I'm not happy yet if I had a little more. Jesus says, no, those things will drag you away. Now, that's tough to look at those things. Thanks be to God, Jesus says there is good soil. There is good soil that hears the gospel. The gospel of Christ, right? That Christ the Savior has come into the world. What do you have to do to earn your salvation? Nothing. It is free. This is the amazing thing. Christ has come into the world and has said, I will pay for your sins. My death takes care of it. And we just receive that, right? That's what we want to do. That's what the seed going into good soil. It's to be received. It's not our work. It's not our preparations. It's not us atoning for our sins. It's just that it comes to us. The faith is from outside me. It comes to me. Jesus is the sower. The word is the seed. It comes to me and I receive it. That's what he's saying. Do you receive it? And he uses those two verbs again. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who what? Hears and understands. To hear the word of God, not like some people do, to hear it and argue against it, to hear it and tear it down, to hear it and mock it. No, to hear it and understand, to hear it and receive it, to hear and know that Christ is the Savior. I love our prayer of the day, the collect of the day. This is an old, old Lutheran prayer, right? It comes from ancient hymnals from long ago. Everybody should take this out of their bulletin. Take a pair of scissors, cut it out of your bulletin, and stick it in your Bible, because this is a wonderful prayer. It is our prayer. Lord, make me that good soil, right? Make me that good soil, because it's not my merits or works that save me. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, that's already good, right? God has caused the scriptures to be written. Why? For our learning, for me to learn and to grow. So here's the prayer. Grant that we may so all these verbs, hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. The power is in the Word of God. It is not in you or me. It is not. It is in the Word of God that we want to hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest, to take it deep down inside of us. And when that happens, Jesus says, there is fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. The Bible talks about agriculture all the time, like the church is a garden or something, right? That let it blossom, right? Let it grow. Let it spring up. Lord, open our ears to hear, our minds to understand. Amen. We stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.